Okay, next part of the previous one for the story. This is fun. Rick here. So here's... Well, we started off with him getting into AI research, which was secret by at that time. We're talking now 60s, middle something. And I mean, completely... What AI is now, I mean, it, at that time it was just this super duper secret military research going on. So he gets into that, and that's where he starts. So now he's into this experiments. We could take that, which we spoke about now, with chi and prana and all that. But of course, there's a lab somewhere. The leaders, those with the dungeons at the South Pole, I mean, those on that level, they have knowledge. They're not fools. They're just keeping the big general mass of people fools. So, but they understand a lot of things, and of course, they understand that. That there's an energy there and you need to just learn how to control it, whether you do it with machinery made of steel and copper cables or with the mind directly. So, and of course the Russians have been doing that, this is a fact, kind of research into psychic powers and all that, paranormal. Actually, I think pretty much into that, the power of the mind. And of course, I think all over, at least in America and Russia, they did it. So he gets involved with that, another even more secret lab. Because now what you know, when you get even higher, and you can see as he goes up, to higher and higher levels of high security clearance, or whatever you call it. It gets funny because those people standing down there on the ground, the big, huge mass of people who are by now completely mind controlled by the media they are looking at, of course, that is controlled by huge corporations who possess the most super duper brains who know psychology. And I'm not sure that our Rick should ever work in there, but he will be in contact with them. And those people are, you would have to say, I think, morally challenged. Ethics is going down there. And he starts to see this, because what I mean with that is that yes. Because when you're getting down to, let's say you're offered a job where you would use your completely superior, I mean, you're now top level professor, university level, person who knows psychology the best of anyone on the planet or something like that. And then you're offered a huge salary to work in a lab in a very beautiful place too. And get lots of real nice comforts in life, not just sitting in some boring chemistry lab, but we call it a lab. And, you know, which means he's sitting there by a pool with all these incredibly, perfectly beautiful ladies around him, and, you know, all of them ready to do anything he asks for. And all he has to do is sit there with his laptop and write a manual, a practical manual that should be implementable by someone, which then would be the first test rabbit, should be able to implement. And that is how you can take basically any idea, any worldview, any political view, and so a religious view, and so on, and put that into the minds of an audience, however small or big. Now, that is the job description. He got it on a piece of paper, or someone speaking it to him in some secret office somewhere. And maybe the man there, whoever he is, you don't know anything who is who here, but you know something is going on. He says to him, well, you know, you don't know me. I could be here fooling you, so it's brave of you to come here, but let's do this. I'll give you a tour. Bring you to right where you can live and see how you could live it. Prepare yourself for a little vacation. A day or a week is enough, but a day is enough, but we'll give you a week if you want. So he does, and then they fold his eyes. I mean, the blindfold on his eyes, and they put him in a helicopter, and he's just listening to music and having and watching a film or whatever. I mean, it's not that he's there, you know, with his blindfolds on or sack over his head. No, no, the sack is very subtle. he doesn't, even if the windows were open, he wouldn't even care what was going on outside there. And the fact that it just gets dark after a while, and that this helicopter starts making other sounds as if jet powered, and it appears to be, if he had been aware of anything, because he's an intelligent man but not in technology, that this thing had turned into some other kind of vehicle that traveled very, very, very fast. And he would have noticed eventually snow under them. And a very large, strange port door opening right into a mountain below them, into the rocks. And then, you know, bring you to your room, have a nice rest, and see you tomorrow. great, thanks. This was great. You know, again, he's surrounded by ladies and finest champagne and all that on the flight, you know, and he's a little tipsy and, whoa, what a nice room. And with or without lady, you know, he can choose. No, I'm too tired. I need to rest here. Wise choice, sir. Tomorrow is going to be a very nice day. And I hope you like our hospitality here, or something very polite like that. But relaxed. And so he's going, wow, this place is, what is this? Where am I? Anyway, I don't care. So he falls asleep, wakes up in the morning, breakfast and all that. And then he's led out into this completely beautiful indoor town, as it looks. What is this? This is an indoor center, like the mall. Yeah, someone said it's kind of like that. But then, you know, and then there are little streets like that. Yeah, we have that in our mall too. Where are we? Well, you know, don't worry about that right now. Because let's just show you around. So they don't tell. But the thing is that as they're walking there, it's another one of those little indoor shopping mall streets leading to yet another one of those, what do you call them? This Italian tiny square structure that you often find in Italian older cities. Anyway, so, and then another one, and he realized, hey, how big is this mall? And they laugh, you know, well, it's about this. It's not, I mean, it's pretty big, but, and it's growing. So then you can see there if you look, but he doesn't notice that there are workers hacking into the mountain rock to build yet new apartments, new shops. It's an incredible market going down here. I mean, here. Because it's not, they don't want to say where it is, you know, down there at the Antarctic. So he is then sworn to in on that job, which means he's going to do that psychology stuff. And it can go on like that. And then you have this office where now poor Rick enters and finds either that man or someone who is his student or so. Probably even better. So this was all a flashback story or something. Saying to Rick, you know, or he's maybe not in, he's in a privately owned lab, but some corporation, not the military or whatever it is, the state managed covered secret labs, but one owned by a corporation. And you know, he said, come over here, work here. He's really, I mean, they have real fancy facilities there, and he makes a lot of money, and maybe they meet downtown sometimes. He has this cool girl, and like an Elon Musk type, almost, but not so big, but he's getting there. You know, he also started as a nerd, because that's he's also a nerd, but he sold himself out to. To the corporations, to big, not pharma, I don't know what this corporation is doing. Well, I mean, AI probably is something, or it could be a continuation of all this NLP and all of that stuff, you know, how you can change your life by changing the ways of your mind. We can make a thing out of that too. That whole new age, what used to be new age business, that well has to a large extent turned into a business where you can try and promote yourself on a guru icon career, and we can say something about that. But then all this is done by that corporation. You know, you have, as I speak this, you have Mr. Musk there. I don't know if it exists or if it's just a 3D animation construction, some alleged company that implants microchip things and electrodes going down into your brain to do what? I don't know. It's a good thing for a movie, though, so we have it, you know, that kind of stuff is done by that corporation, and we can invent and put all kinds of other similar things into it. Some just fake for the investors. Who cares? That's how they do it today. So many of these companies are just put together as virtual enterprises so far, and are really just existing in the form of a concept that is illustrated by 3D graphics done by other hackers, 3D graphics artists who need to earn an income. So it's all a big mesh of different greedy, selfish bastards who are just making that kind of network there. And so, and then part of it is this, you know, how can we just, we give you any message here, who you should vote for, in which country, at which time, if you should vote or not. You just, we give that to you and you make it happen by molding the minds of the people in that country through the media they are hooked up to. And whatever means available. If they are not thoroughly hooked up to a digital screen that is in our control, then we will use, now this is like the an ad for this company by themselves towards actual potential customers. Then we will invent any means required to reach them too. Nothing is left to chance. That's their slogan, you know, nothing is left to chance. So they're really having a cool corporate presentation. And he, this guy is trying to win Rick over to them because they are all friends from university. But then, you know, they have a conflict, and Rick said, you know, you went over to the dark side. I'm a bright side guy. And they can discuss that, you know, and he says, what do you mean? That's just sentimentalism. You know, look at what the actual reality is. Everyone is all I, me, mine. You might like it or not, but you also think like that. We all think like that. And, you know, I can make a lot of money this way. And I can use that money to do good things. So then Rick asks him, how much money do you have? Well, you know, like $200 billion or something. Or euros or yuan, whatever. Or with maybe 200 billion or something. And he says, what? Dollars, euros, yuan? No, Bitcoin. He just gave me that. This is enough for you. And I realized, you know, Bitcoin is worth pretty much these days. But no, I've got everything I need. Anyway, I don't need to think about money. My team takes care of that. So it's like an incredibly tempting situation Rick's finding himself into, but he chooses the right way. And then he goes down there and he meets this Swamiji who made that interview there in Britain. He has his little shop there on 26th Second Avenue, little storefront, completely unimpressive place for such a big man. And it goes on like that. Good for now.